Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Okay, let's get into our study. If you have not been with us, we've been going through the book of Romans. And the question whenever we're having a special event like Back Church Sunday or other things that come up is like, okay, do we take a break from that or do we look at the scripture and see like if it lines up? And most of the time we find that like the Holy Spirit's already ahead of us. That where we're at in the scripture is exactly where we want to be for a special event. And that's true again today. But for those who have not been with us, whether you're joining us as a guest in-house or if you're watching online or whatnot, I do want to go through at least this section of it, which is what Paul has been talking about for the first 11 chapters. We're in the 12th chapter. But the first 11 chapters, as you start to get into more practical day-to-day things now, was all about setting up righteousness, the gospel, and how the gospel should make a difference in your life. Okay, so I do want to put that back onto the table. We are all born in sin. We are all born in unrighteousness. He spends quite a bit of time talking about how God feels about unrighteousness, about God's wrath, God's judgment, which sound like heavy things, but also talks to us about the reason why he gets so worked up about unrighteousness is because what it does to us, those that he loves, it keeps us from the life that he has for us. And so he's very jealous for us. He's very zealous for us. And so from that unrighteousness that we're all born into, we're also born into an opportunity, because God loves us in the midst of all that, to accept his gift of forgiveness, his gift of what we call the gospel, which is Jesus' story. And so since Jesus came to earth, left heaven to this cesspool, spent 33, 34, 35 years here with us, laughing with us, crying with us, experiencing us on a firsthand basis, us experiencing him, being the example, doing the teaching, doing the healing, everything he did, up to the point of dying for us and being the ultimate sacrifice for our sins so that we don't have to continue to live in unrighteousness, and raising again so there's that victory that's over, that we can accept that forgiveness. So the way that the scripture puts it, and me maybe put my own little bent to it, but the scripture says that if you acknowledge Jesus with your mouth, that he is the Son of God, and you believe in your heart he died and rose again, then you are saved. So I believe that you did come to this earth. I believe you are the Son of God. You are God, I'm not, and I'm giving my life back to you because I've been running into the ditch. So I'm giving you my life. I'm accepting that gift of forgiveness from over here. I don't deserve it, but I'll take it and take that new start and that new beginning, and I'm going to follow you. And a big part of what he's talked about in Romans 11 is one of two things happens at that point. As we spend the rest of our life, one of two things happen. Either we lean into the way that God has called us to live, and we move towards holiness, and we continue to grow in holiness the rest of our lives to have more and more freedom in our lives, or we become like most who continue to justify sin in their life, continue to take and dabble in the ways that things used to be and things that we know that's not of God, but I really want that in my life, or that's just the way I feel, or that's the way I want to live, and then we can't understand why we keep train wrecking. And we end up going through this justification of sin that continues to put us in the harm's way. Does that make sense? I mean, we spent 11 chapters on that, just really understanding that that's the truth. Freedom leads to kingdom of God living, what God calls us to, and the justification leads us into lukewarmness, leads us into hypocrisy, leads us into continued struggle. It's just two different paths, and you're the person that chooses if you accept Jesus. That's a conscious choice decision you make. It's not something you inherit from your parents or whatnot. And then you choose whether or not to lean into freedom or to lean into justification and to continue to go that ditch. Does that make sense? Because we're going to continue to build on this a little bit more today. Matter of fact, if you want to get your Bibles out, we can go to Romans 12 and continue our conversation. Last week, he started talking about the practicals and talked about serving. But this week, I think I want to go back and talk a little bit from a standpoint of what our heart is for Back to Church Sunday. Again, it's a big Sunday for us just to continue to remind ourselves that our heart is for people who have been hurt by church before, our heart is for people who have been hurt by Christians before, and that we continue to want to look at what causes those things and how do we move past them. And a lot of times you see church hurt or pastor hurt or Christian hurt it's because people were justifying sin. And so if we're trying to be an authentic community, how does that look? And what does the scripture have to say to us? So in this case, as we lean up to it, and by the way, if you don't have a Bible with you, there's Bibles in the baskets underneath the chairs around the room. YouVersion's up and running. If you don't have YouVersion, it's just a free app, national app, that if you do a search for local live events, you'll see TSF in today's date, and it gives you all the scriptures, and a place to take notes there as well. But we're going to do what we usually do. We're going to read a little, talk a little, and see what we end up with when it comes to this particular section of scripture. Now, for my note takers, for people who like to take notes, you know, I like to, like, as we read a little and then we're talking through it, I'd like to kind of get some bullet points to kind of help with the flow of things. And we will do that for one particular section of the scripture. But overall, this particular section of scripture is like bullet points fiesta. It is so much here that it's almost like Paul sat down and wrote down, okay, here's 20 or 25 bullet points that I want you to know, and I'm going to slap them together like the one paragraph, and there you go. I mean, it's just so if you're a note taker, you're not going to be able to write these down as I go. It's literally just going to be right there in your Bible. You can underline it. You can highlight it. I would love for you to go back and study it deeper at home, like go and write out the bullet points and then think about each one. But this is just a jungle of bullet points that we're going to have. And you'll see what I have to mean. But and then we're going to find a scope from it as we dig into it. So starting out at verse 9, Paul writes this. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just a bam, 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 bam. It gets better. 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate yourself with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So again, it's just like this constant like run through. And as you go through it, it can be easy to kind of skip over a bunch of stuff or just kind of glaze over a little bit. But I wonder if we could look at it from a standpoint of, let's say you're on a, like, decide you're going to become like Amy Butts and you're going to go for a walk. She gave you a good path to go on. Amy Butts goes on lots of walks, lots of pictures, finds great peace in it. I don't. But you do. You want that for yourself. Or maybe you got Dan Hudnall's path to taking photographs of birds, and you're out in the wilderness, you're out secluded, and all of a sudden you look up and there's like Jesus in the path in front of you. And so, you know, of course you're going to fall on your knees, you're in worship, you're just overwhelmed. Jesus meets you at, he gets down on the ground, he's sitting next to you and talking to you. And you guys get into a little bit of conversation. At some point he busts out this. He says, you know, just to kind of see where we're at, you know, like how life's going for you and going into that freedom and stuff. Read these couple of paragraphs here that I had Paul jot down a little while and just consider it like a pop quiz. How are you doing with each of these? Let's just go through them one by one. How are you doing with them? My guess is there might be a couple areas that you can celebrate. I hope, pray. I know you guys are good people, right? Following the Lord. My guess is there would be areas that you say, I could really be growing in that. Here's an opportunity for me to grow in. Would you agree with that? So we have this opportunity to continue to move forward. But my question to myself when I was going through this as well was like, okay, so what if you did the same thing with us as a church? Let's go through these couple paragraphs. What's standing out to you? How's it going? Where are we thriving? My guess is there will be several areas that we have to celebrate, in several areas that we would have struggle, or areas that we can grow within. I think that's fair to say. And the problem becomes is when we ignore the fact that we have areas to grow in and continue on with a little bit of a human arrogance otherwise. And so a lot of times when I'm talking to people who have been hurt by church before, hurt by Christians before, hurt by pastors before, a lot of it really comes down to either the church has this mindset to ignore, or we as the person going to the church have the mindset of ignoring. It's not always the church's fault for church hurt. It is a lot of times, but sometimes we cause that same issue as well. I know for talking to people in the past, it would be like, you know, I used to go to this one church, but they just talk about the same stuff over and over and over again. You know, that like last week here at the fellowship, we talked about serving within the church. Like, and how, okay, so you want me, want my time, you want free labor, whatever. Why do we talk about that all the time? Well, it's kind of biblical. And are you? You know, how are we doing in that area? And I wasn't trying to be overly rude. I was just trying to be realistic. That if you remember at the end of last week, I'd said probably for those saying, hey, I want to learn more about how I can get involved in the church, we'll probably get like two people that will give us insert saying they want to do something. And that's not a good thing. And we got two. You know, so maybe we need to talk about serving some more. Maybe that's a real struggle, an area that we can grow in. At church, I always just talked about money, man. I was talking about tithing. I was always talking about generosity and talking about offerings. And money comes up each and every other time. Money's a big issue. Let me ask, how are you doing with it? And how are we doing with it as a church when it comes to financial faith to God? We're pretty average in comparison to other churches. And we're lacking when it comes to how the scripture tells us that we should be. And that plays out in a lot of ways. Whether or not we're tithing is the first question. But I know, like, are you nailing it to where we stop talking about it? Because I would think, let's say it was a special offering. Okay, we're doing the fence thing right now. And I'm leery on doing this one because the fence is part of a vision for outside relationalism. But it's not like we're feeding kids that don't have food. You know what I mean? So it is a very big want. But I wouldn't say it's a need. But, like, some have really stepped in on it, and a lot haven't. Have you prayed about, should I? I know a lot of people are like, well, I tithe, so I don't have to do all this extra stuff. I mean, have you struggled with it? Have you ever given an offering to anything that's outside of the normal tithe? And that's assuming that you're tithing. Have you been generous to people that are struggling financially? Is this an area you need to grow in? Are you being a good steward with your money so you're not getting your paycheck and going out and blowing it one weekend and then don't have money to pay your bills? Well, we talk about it all the time because the Bible talks about time because it leads us into the ditch and we're still struggling with it. Our time, how we do our schedule, how we fulfill our purpose. Do you know what your purpose is? You guys keep talking about it. Well, yeah, how do we find that together? How do we lean into the Lord? Are you sharing Jesus with others? Same talk about that a lot of church in the scripture, don't we? Have you led anybody to the Lord in the last 5 years? Have you invited somebody to church? Have you talked to somebody about what Jesus means to you? Shared your testimony, caring for others? The reason it comes up over and over again in church and in the scripture is because the scripture knows us. The scripture knows us. So if Jesus sat down with us with these, in my book, and again, this is not scripture, it's just as they put it into a Bible later, they put those little headers on there. They put the head of marks of a true Christian. Marks of a true Christian. And what we find when people have been hurt, it's because somewhere something's off and it's not being authentic. I did want to try to come up with some kind of flow within this spiritually when there's so much happening within the scripture. And I was really struggling with it. And as you know, I was kind of having a bad week anyways. But so I cheated. I'm going to share with you something that somebody else came up with. I want to put this up here because this is a great resource if you want to go deeper into what we're talking about. I have had this book. It's only on Romans 12. It's not on all of Romans or anything of that nature. It's only on Romans 12. If you go into the video teaching of it, I think it would be broken out into like 8 or 9 sermon times. It's broken into more sessions, but be about 8 or 9 sermons just on this chapter. Like, we were really, really just glazing over this chapter. And so I've had the book maybe a decade. And you guys know how I do with reading books. And Ginger, they still haven't turned it into a movie yet. So, but I thumbed it, and it's really, really good stuff. And I really like Chip Ingram. If you're not familiar with Chip Ingram, he's a national guy. He grew up in Columbus, went to Ohio State University, played ball in Gahanna. He was a big basketball guy. My mentor, Bob Buchanan, that many of you have met when he's spoken here on a few different occasions, grew up with Chip. They're good friends still to this day. The radio station that I was on the board of directors for, the guy that's general manager of that station, loved Chip's teaching, would have Chip in anytime they could to be able to teach him. He really is a pretty solid teacher, and there's a lot of different opportunities out there. In this case, if you want to go deeper, especially since I'm about to steal the next four bullet points from him, the book is available. But if you look inside your bulletin, it will give you information of how you can go through all of his sessions on Romans 12 through Right Now Media. If you're not familiar with Right Now Media, it is like a Netflix, a Christian Bible study. We give it away for free here at the church. If you are not already have an account, there's a QR code there in your bulletin. You just scan it. All you have to do is set up a username and a password, and all of it's available to you for free. No credit card information. If you never come back to this church again, you have it as long as we have it, and you can go through all the sessions, and I highly recommend it. It's an incredible study. Great, great study. But this is the part that I've stole from him. When looking at these voices, the main thing that kind of stood out, especially our scope of talking about authentic community, Christian community, is that authentic Christian community occurs when the real you meets real needs for the right reasons in the right way. And I'll leave that up for a few seconds. Authentic Christian community occurs when the real you meets real needs for the right reasons in the right way. And we're going to break those out a little bit. The small numbers are the verse that he's pulling that from. This is just from the first four or five verses of this particular reading that we did today that will get you into the ballpark of things. It will also be in the sermon workshop. I don't know if you guys have paid much attention to the sermon workshop. It comes out through our prayer chain and text and on Facebook, usually on Sunday nights, sometimes on Mondays, but it will have all the slides in it. It has all the video for the sermon. It has the audio for the sermon. It has a transcript for the sermon. It has bullet points for the screen. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in there that's free to you that you'll find tonight. So that would be in there along with the slides as well. But let's break these down a little bit and see what old Chip is talking about. So it starts out with the real you, and that's verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. And I think I have a little bit, and again, forgive me, a lot of the other stuff I'm talking about in here is just me babbling. But I'll credit Chip as we go. But when I was looking at this from the perspective he was, I think it has a pretty profound reason why he wrote it the way that he did it. First off, let your love be genuine. Let it be authentic. No, it's not something that we fake. It's not something that we do because we're Christians or because we're going to go to home group and see, hey, how did you do this week? There's got to be an authenticity to you. And if you look at, like, surveys and stats and those kind of things, when people are asked, what do you look for in a church? Or what do you look for in Christian community? And really, quite frankly, what do you look for in any kind of friendship, if it has nothing to do with Christianity or not, is high on the list over and over again is authenticity. I really don't want the fake you. I want to be able to be me, and I want you to be able to be yourself with me. It's very high on our radar of what we want. The problem is, if we're not trying to be a projection of ourselves, if we also look at our lives and how we act at our jobs and in our families and even sometimes at church, a lot of times we're not being authentic. We're not putting the real us out there. We almost feel like we're going to be judged, or we feel like we're going to be looked down upon, or that we're going to meet some kind of rebuke or ridicule. Is that true to say? I mean, like, I talk to people all the time that are just exhausted trying to keep the image up. And one of the things that we could do when we look at this is be like, okay, I'm just going to be the real me, and you get to deal with the real me. This is the way it goes. And so when you push my buttons and I blow up at you, I'm just being authentic. I'm just being me. You just got to deal with it. You're not being authentic. You're being reactionary to whatever in an authentic way is happening inside you. And you're not being authentic with it. Does that make sense? And I think that's why he says, abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Hate what is evil. So this blowing up of rage, hate that. And the word, and this again off of Chip, he's talking about the word for hate here in the scripture can translate to the emotion you feel like. Do you, a lot of you guys drink milk? I can only drink a certain amount, okay? Okay, it looks like a lot of you drink milk and most of you are embarrassed by it. Everybody's just kind of like, Okay, anyways, but you have milk. Both girls in my house drink lots and lots and lots of milk. And let's say it's been a little while and it expires. And you don't notice for like 3 weeks, okay? And you open up the fridge and you take off the cap and you take a big whiff of it. The term of how you feel about that expired milk translates to how we're supposed to feel about evil. Does that make sense? So we're supposed to hate evil and hold fast to what is good. We're supposed to cling to what is good. So if you push my buttons, I need to hate blowing up about it. And what I should cling to is what is going on with that. Like I go back a little bit, but there was a young lady online. You meet her a lot in person, one of the sweetest things you could ever meet. Just a great person. Has a heart for other people, cares for other people, helps other people. Get her on social media, not so much. Just thunder. And it was usually around certain topics that just would push her buttons to a point, and she would just rip people apart, swear like a sailor, just horrible combats going on within it. And it seemed to be kind of the same topics. And it's to the point that she had on her Facebook page, like pinned, you know, you can pin a post. It was like a picture that says, tell me, point on this doll where I hurt you. Like she knew it, and it was just kind of like, this is just the way I am type thing. And it really caused a lot of issues for her and other people. But if you look at the issues and you know her story, her mom, when she was a baby, was raped and murdered. She has lived with this her whole life. Justice system took 2 decades. And a lot of the issues are going on around that topic, or about abuse or domestic abuse, is about rape, is about things that very much are along the lines of what's going on inside. And so this just pushes everybody away. But if we can be authentic of just going, I hurt. That's why you blow up. I think it should be this way, and it's not, and it's killing me. That's bringing authenticity. And that's how we should be with our love. We need to be motivated because I truly love you, and I'm open to being me so that you can love me for who I am, and we can get rid of these images and move forward in some kind of authentic way. Does that make sense? Okay. And so it goes beyond, like, it shouldn't have to be like, you go out into church, someone says, how was your week this week? Oh, it's horrible. Sit down. I got 45 minutes for you. You know, it's not like a sin, because if you say, oh, I'm doing okay, how about you? I'm doing good too. But there needs to be places in your life for authenticity. For me, there's 2 areas that are kind of main for me. One is with other men, and one is with my spouse. For other men, and I apologize, Neil, I completely forgot about yesterday for men's group. That was completely on me. I mean, I know I have my own stuff on, but I was going to be there. So I love men's group. There's 4 or 5 of us come. I really wish the other men in this church would see the value in it. And we come and we talk and we really dig into things. And I think in any other church I grew up in, the pastor would feel uncomfortable being authentic in that circle. Because you're supposed to have the answers. I'm supposed to have everything together. I'm supposed to be having a joyful life where I'm just perfect, so that I can be that great leader for you. And I've never put that on myself, and this group has never put it on me, and I'm allowed to be authentic in that group, and I crave that. I crave that. With my spouse, if I can't be authentic with Jenny, what's going on? And we were talking about this the other day. Again, there's different dynamics, different families. I'm not trying to say anything about anything, but we both grew up in households where there was no yelling. And I understand yelling and anger and family from a pastoral care standpoint, but that's not been my experience. What my experience is if Jenny and I on the same page, or my kids and I on the same page, I can face anything. But if Jenny and I are on different pages, it throws me like nothing else. That doesn't mean we can't disagree with each other. But if we can't sit and talk or work, you know, work through something, and it just seems like there's this friction, we need a couple a day. Jenny usually takes a little bit of time to process. That throws me like nothing else. That authenticity. If you don't have authenticity with your spouse, you need some help. If you don't have authenticity with other people in your life, it's an area that we can grow in. So if we're going to do a big part of this, it's got to be the real you. You've got to be able to, if you ever think about this, when you're taking and putting out an image, Jesus is reaching out to you, and when you're being authentic, Jesus can reach you. Does that make sense? That's where you can have real conversations with Jesus. Okay, I spent a decent amount of time on there for a reason. That's kind of really foundational. Real needs, not convenient or superficial ones. Now, just a question for the crowd. Did I spell convenient correctly? I think so. No, what is that? So don't be convenient. Sick and tired of convenient. What's that? I appreciate that, because spell check, that was with spell check's house. You should have seen what it looked like before I had spell check. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly or sisterly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. The word for this is Philadelphia, if you want that in the original language. That's why Philadelphia is named Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's where they pulled that from. And it is a love for one another as Christians. It's the love and taking and serving real needs. Yes, we're supposed to, and this throws people sometimes, we're absolutely here to fill the needs of the world as an outreach, but the scripture says even more so we need to take care of one another, because why would the world not trust us if we don't care for each other? Does that make sense? So for real needs, the real you taking and being there for other people with brotherly and sisterly love. Now, a lot of that we talked about last week, and I will put that back out there. If you missed that, it's a great opportunity to go back and watch that on the Facebook or YouTube or our website or Right Now Media or whatever you want to do there to dig into that a little bit more. But again, it's just another reminder, we're not here to serve in such a way that is just on my timeline and my comfort zone. That we are supposed to love each other and let that actually move us with a full devotion instead of just more activity being on my plate. There's more things I'm supposed to be having. So I would invite you to go back into that. That's really going to serve in that area. I think that's the reason he's talking to us about it, is because he knows that we just went through service, and immediately, again, there's no break in his writing. We did that later, that he wanted to make sure that he's hitting some of the justification off that gifts of grace aspect that we looked at. So the real you, real needs, working for the right reasons. For the right reasons. And the right reasons is not to please other people. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Several areas are going to come up in this. First off, we're supposed to be serving in humility. Is the right reasons there, not giving preference to one another in honor. And remembering that it's not about you. It's about loving others. It's about living this life of freedom. If you can think of a time that you've been hurt by church before, hurt by Christians before, and you pulled away, or maybe still pull away today, ask, would that situation look different if they had any humility at all? Or maybe if I had humility at all, what kind of difference would be in that? I had to have the right reasons, and a lot of times we get off base with that. We have to have the right motive, not lagging behind in diligence, excellence in what we do, keeping our commitments matter when it comes to serving other people. If you're not keeping your commitment, you're probably making the situation worse than helping them in any way, shape, or form. Through the church, through our community efforts, through Aspire Ministries, I can tell you we've heard story after story after story where someone had a need and someone said, oh, I've got that. Here, just do this, this, and this, and I've got that. And then they back out on them in the worst place that they were to begin with. All you have to do is just go buy these supplies. Just go over to Lowe's, get everything, and I'll show up next Tuesday, and we'll do this and this. Just give me $500 down. They do that, $500. Oh, sorry, that's not going to work out. I really thought we were going to be on it. Now you got a bunch of supplies and no money, and you're back in worse shape. Keep your word. If you're not going to help, then just don't tell them you're going to help. At least do that. At least be honest about it. But make sure that you're keeping your commitments, that you're fervent in spirit. You're not supposed to be lazy. You're supposed to be serving the Lord in excellence. Method matters in this. Genuine service to God is characterized by excellence and by passion. It's not just doing what he says, but excellence and passion. And making sure that we're following after him. I'll give Chip this one, because I had not really thought about this before. He was talking to a group of people in this video. And he asked, I'll ask you guys, has there ever been a time that you've been in a Bible study or a small group, and you're talking and been praying for each other and stuff? Did you ever have somebody just say, you know, when it comes to serving God, I'm just lazy. Can you pray for me for laziness? Has anybody ever heard anybody ask for that? Just looking across. Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest things we struggle with, and it's the least thing that we have asked for prayer for, or really even acknowledge in our own lives, is that we can be lazy in our lives. When we're looking through this list, if I'm doing a self-test. And he defined laziness in this way, and I like this. I think there's an argument for the comparison of, you know, I know I should be going and doing this, but I just want to watch Netflix and be completely zoned out, and so I don't do it. I like his definition better, where he was saying laziness is not doing what God tells you to do when God tells you to do it. And I think it's a really good term for laziness. It's not bad to take a vacation. It's not bad to watch some Netflix. But if God tells you to do something and you blow it off for some kind of justification, then there's a problem within this. So we have to do the right reason, not to please people, but the right thing at the right time when God calls us to do it. And then the last one he gives us is the right way. Not in my own strength. 12 and 13. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. This one really needs an upward focus and an outward focus. Or you'll die spiritually. When it comes to doing the right needs for the right reason, right, I need to have an upward focus and an outward focus. And this is a problem for a lot of us, even within the church. Outwardly, I need to be doing what God calls me to do, right? I'm contributing my time, I'm contributing my money, I'm taking those things, according again to what we read here, to contribute to the needs of the saints. And this was a Chip thing, he was making a joke, if you look at the original language for it, to contribute, it means give money in your time. What it means, to the needs of the saints, that's not pastors, that's to Christians. To those who accepted Jesus as leader for giving your life. So you're practicing and pursuing hospitality in your life. That outward focus is what we talk about a lot of times, which we have to talk about just as much, this upward focus, because if I'm just doing this on my own accord, I'm going to bone out and I'm not going to be able to have joy in my life at all. But if I have this upward focus while I'm leaning into God, when I'm having this time with God, when I'm in the Word, when I'm in prayer, when I'm in Christian community, and I'm being refueled, then I continue to be able to do the things that he calls me to do. We're not supposed to do it on our own. The way that Chip put it is that when we go into the week and just trying to do the week by our own strength, and you're not in the Word, and you're not in prayer, and you're not in Christian community, and you don't have friends that can help you carry that load, if you're just trying to plow through the week, that it's an extreme high level of arrogance, thinking I can do it on my own. And that one kicked me in the gut. That one kicked me in the gut. Because we just do what we do. We just do what we do. But if I'm not being refueled, I'm like a car that's going to be empty on the side of the highway soon enough. And so a lot of times within our Christian walk, and we just I feel empty, I feel burnt out, I feel like it. What are you doing to refuel? Because a church service every month to every 2 months is not going to do it. It's a continuous relationship of this upward and outward standpoint. This is what leads to authentic Christian community. It's what leads to authentic Christian lives. And what leads us to a place where we stop hurting people as much as we do sometimes. Still with me? Is it getting annoying yet? Here's why it's so important. Because it's important to Jesus. When we look at him in the last night of his life before his arrest, and he's praying in the garden, one of his prayers is this, verbatim from John 17. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. Their message is the apostles' message. So what he's saying here is, I'm praying for you, you who believe through the message of the apostles, that all of them may be one, so we have unification. Father, just as you in me and I in you. I pray they have unification in the same way that I as the Son and God the Father are unified. That's a very high bar. Very high bar. May they also be in us, so now we're in them within that unification, so that the world may believe that you sent me. This is extremely, extremely critical in a Christian's life and in a church's life. And when we get off base, it goes in the ditch. Still with me? Still with me? How many of you guys like milk? A couple of you are a little bit more proud than you were earlier, aren't you? Okay, all right, you're connected with the story. All right, I see. I've shared this before, but I want to hit it again. When it comes to people that, well, I'll give you the scripture if you want to go there, Acts 2, 42 through 47. And I've shared this story before, but I'll share it again because it continues to amaze me. I talk to people a lot who've been hooked by church before. If I drank coffee, I would probably float on coffee with how many times I'm having coffee with people talking about how they've been hooked by church, how they gave up on church, how they don't want anything to do with church. And I listen to their stories because their stories need to be heard. And then I give them this scripture. Like, I'm sitting there just like, hey, I pull up on my phone. Say, can you do me a favor and just read these few verses and tell me what you think? And I'll read them to you. This is what they read. They read, I tell them, this is the early church. This is right after Jesus ascended back into heaven. This is when the Holy Spirit fills them. This is Pentecost. This is the beginning of the church. This is what it looked like. They, being Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as anybody had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And they look up and read this, and I say, what's that sound like? What do you think? Like, that sounds good. That sounds good. And I've not run across anybody who reads through this and says, oh, I don't want that in my life. I don't want an authentic community that's actually doing what they say that they believe. I don't want people to care about me when I'm going through tough times. What the heck? Why are you showing me this? Nobody. Everybody's like, that is what I crave, because we're made to crave it. And the only thing that stops authentic Christianity is either non-authentic leadership within the church or non-authentic Christians within the church. So when I go back and try to not do things by my own strength and do things by the Lord and really leaning into them, it changes how I read Romans 12, 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affections. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of all the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, what's in your control, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay it, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will reap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, if you happen to be watching this and you've been burned out by church before, or hurt by church before, If you happen to be part of this and you're a fellowshipper, you come here to this church and something just seems off. You're really annoyed at one person and can't let it go, or you're annoyed at every little thing that comes out of the church and your way would be better, and they just need, I'm not talking about anti-biblical things, I'm just talking about opinion stuff. If there's a place where you're just, I show up every once in a while and I kind of enjoy the coffee and saying hi to people, and then I'll show back up again some other time when it's good for me. If you're looking at it from what does the church do for me, go to Romans 12, go to Acts 2, and dream a little bit. And what's within your control, which includes conversation if something's really bothering you, but what's in your control to live at peace with each other and to be able to find a community that's beyond. So we're not giving up, we're not pulling away, we're not drowning under the weight of all this muck, we're not turning sour, but we overcome evil with good. That's what the scripture calls us to do.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.